Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 20, verses 1 through 2 and 10 through 18. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mary Magdalene had seven demons cast out of her. She followed Jesus. She was present at the cross. She was the first person to see Jesus alive on Easter morning. Those are the accounts that bear her name in the Bible. But the tradition in the church has been to attach her name to a few other nameless women's stories also. The woman caught in adultery in John, against whom Jesus refuses to cast the first stone. Sometimes she is Martha and Lazarus' sister Mary from Bethany. And especially the sinful woman who comes to anoint Jesus in the old historic gospel reading for today. Mary Magdalene has become the church's every woman. For my part, I don't see any harm in letting that tradition stand. But I know others do, not just those nitpicking, unimaginative exegetes. There is Dan Brown's spectacular conspiracy theory that Mary Magdalene was actually Jesus' secret wife, the first apostle, the first woman pastor, if you like, a proto-feminist, only slandered in a smear campaign by powerful churchmen. They saddled Mary with all these other stories from the Bible, a prostitute caught in the act, a sinful woman from the city. They demoted her to a position of gross sinner, groveling at Jesus' feet, listening to him. The worst thing ever, right? In a woman's place. Now, I hope that you can see through the silliness of these things. But I also want you to see how it distorts our Christian faith in its very premise and goes against the very meanings of those gospel accounts, whether or not you feel like naming the woman in them Mary. Consider, for example, this deeply misguided statement where a nun even is lamenting that Mary's name would be so slandered. Women looking to the Bible for inspiration already have limited choices of female role models, she writes. And when we suddenly cut Mary Magdalene off at the knees and turn her into some kind of evil pervert by connecting her with those women, we deprive men and women, but especially women, of a figure with whom they can identify. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Christ wants everyone to identify with that sinful woman in the Gospels. In the house of Simon, that Pharisee who thought so highly of himself, Jesus does not laud him. He lauds her and even makes a show of her to Simon. I tell you, Simon, she is forgiven much because she loves much. What about you? And then Jesus says blessedly to that woman, I tell you, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The forgiveness of sins is the greatest power on earth. And it is not a power that oppresses or belittles or cuts down. It is the power that saves. It is the true inspiration. It is the power that gives life and hope to those who have none at all. It is the power that raises the dead and that sanctifies the unholy. That unnamed woman in Simon's house, she is the greatest possible inspiration for all women and people of all time. Because the inspiration that she gives is that opinion of hers that the forgiveness of sins should be sought in Christ Jesus. And if you ask me, any story that amazing, any woman so blessed as she to hear the Lord say, peace be with you, just has to have a name, right? We want to know her. And not for trivia, much less to bring fleeting political ideology into the church. No, we wish to know her and identify her precisely with her in a name so that we may be free to find our names in these holy scriptures also. And yes, contrary to the self-empowering world who might like Simon better, actually, our Christian role models are always going to have to be confused, otherwise tragic sinners. But those very same who trust and delight and find peace in Christ Jesus, death and resurrection, in His forgiveness. So, is Mary by name really so inspirational in today's gospel? A detail-oriented ideologue could just as easily point out that she is found crying, frantic, too upset even to recognize the very man she's looking for, and she's clingy. But that's not the way to read the Bible. Should we not rather see how our Lord Jesus Christ comforts her tears, calling her by name, and thus take comfort ourselves that He surely calls us by name also, as He's done in Holy Baptism? And should we not see gladly that the Lord does not allow her to cling to Himself there, as if her relationship were unique to Him, special and heroic in some way? But rather, instead, He points her, and by her word, points all of His disciples to His ascension. I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God, He says. Dear Christian, He is ascending and is now ascended to intercede for you as well, and yes, by name, in the power of His name, to bring His blood to bear on your sins, that they too would be forgiven, and to preserve you faithful in this sorry, prideful world, until at last He delivers you safe into the next. Christ is risen indeed, and He is ascended for every man's benefit. And yes, He is every woman's Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Charles Malley, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.